And today, guys, we have some guest speakers today. Okay, someone new, someone exciting. It's going to be awesome. They're actually what I would call the power couple. If there was a power couple, sorry, Jer and Holly, not you guys today. There's a new power couple in town. Okay? And that's Darcy and Leanne. So a little bit about them. They're going to share a little bit more. But they are a power couple because they have dedicated their whole lives to seeing people in Canada and in the world come to know Jesus in a new and refreshing way. Okay, they've each done their own thing. Leanne leads the Zoe Network. Okay, if you don't know what it is, Google it. Okay, the Zoe Network. But what it does is the Zoe Network empowers men and women to find their life in Jesus and be empowered through it. And as well, they partner with Mission Global, and what they do is they also help empower and support vulnerable women across the globe and getting out of where they are and empowering them to do great things. And Darcy, okay, that's just one of them. Darcy also works at Mission Global, the Development and Communication Director. Okay, big words means big job. Okay. He does some incredible things as well, but his job is primarily to connect the church in Canada, okay, us, with God's mission, okay, what he's doing around the world. And so he's reaching a hand into both those places and connecting them and just seeing God do incredible things. And so they're a power couple, and they're going to share a little bit more about what they do. But this is also a little bit more personal, okay? Leanne, she grew up in this church, okay? She said the age of three? 3 weeks, sorry. 3 weeks. In this church and just involved in the church life. She's telling me that she like led an adult Bible study one Wednesday and like was very involved in the youth group and all throughout this church. And so this place has a special place in her heart. Okay, and then she went off to Bible college. And she met Darcy there, and they ended up coming back here and getting married in this building 36 years ago. Okay, and so this place is home for them. Very special place. And so they're going to be sharing a little bit about what God's been doing in the last 36 years in them and through them in this town, in this city, and also in the world. And so it's going to be an incredible time learning about them. And so there's going to be a video that's going to share a little bit more about what they do. And so if you guys want to look to the screen, that'd be awesome.
I see that because, yes, we all have a part in God's mission, every single one of us. Sometimes we think it's for the professional Christians, like, you know, the people that were up here to, you know, but we all have a part to play. And if we had to sum up what we do, we love helping people connect with their part. Hey. Mm.
It's so good. So Leanne does lead Zoe Network, and Riley, he described it well. Like it sounded like I kind of want to bottle what he said. Like, yeah. It sounded really impressive. But one of the things that we got to do with Zoe is put on a conference in Cambodia with women. And it wasn't just Canadians going and putting on the conference. It was working together with Cambodian women to put on a conference together. And we've got a picture of that conference. A couple more slides in. Keep going. There we go.
And so we worked with Khmer leaders to put this conference on to really empower women. We didn't go in as Canadians just to do a conference. We were like, let's raise up local leaders. One of the things that they wanted to do was actually have sort of door prizes, yeah, or grand prizes or whatever. Now, women, when we do a conference and we're offering a door prize, what kinds of things would we offer?
A spa. So that's what we suggested. We suggested we could get a gift certificate to a spa.
No.
What else? A dinner and, sorry, somebody's... Cookware.
Not bad.
The cookware idea kind of went over because the grand prize that they wanted was a rice cooker. And the place erupted.
It went wild when they received a rice cooker, which was interesting because it highlighted the differences, the different needs within communities and stuff, and how privileged we are. But yeah, we love helping empower women, vulnerable women around the world.
With my work with Mission Global, I get to have the joy of connecting with our international partners around the world and finding out about what God is doing around the world and then coming back to Canada and connecting that in with our Canadian churches. So I was just down with the kids ministry and asked them for ideas on how we could get the Bible into places where it is not allowed. And I want to tell you that the number one idea from your kids was to put the Bible into pizza boxes and send it across restricted access borders. Like, so we are taking that idea and we are going to run with it.
It started here at Bethel, right?
So, but we do work. We've got Bibles going into countries that I cannot name, and out of that, the Bible is passed hand to hand. Our goal is about 15 different people would take a Bible, read it, pass it on to another, and it's amazing to kind of think creatively on how we could engage with the world when so many people do not have access to Scripture, and we can get that message across.
We just actually spent the last 5 years in Hong Kong, and it was such a privilege to be there. One of the things that we did in Hong Kong was marriage ministry, which was kind of a surprise to us. But Hong Kong had one of the highest divorce rates in all of the world. It is a densely populated, fast-moving city that has a lot of pressure on it, pressures on couples. And so that was one way that we could serve. But we also went to a restricted access nation within Southeast Asia.
Yeah, so we got to teach on marriage to this group of house pastors, and we taught them material, and they were going to go and take that material and train other house churches about marriage. And this is actually groundbreaking, different than Canada. Like, when we arrived, we heard from one of the leaders that the value of a woman is less than the value of the family goat. So for Leanne and I to actually stand side by side and talk about marriage to both men and women, just that was a massive message.
Like, there was the content, but the fact that we were doing it together, that Darcy was respecting me, that I was respecting him, and there was this mutuality to it that was so powerful for them to witness. It was crazy. My favorite moment of that time there, and I tell you, we have traveled a lot. That was tough. That trip was tough. But at one point, Darcy had all of the women stand up, and he just spoke over them and prophesied over them about their value and their worth, and spoke dignity in their lives. It actually gives me goosebumps when I think about that powerful impact. Because the gospel is good news for everyone. The gospel is good news for women worldwide, because when we lift them up and when they understand who they are in Him, then it changes families, it changes communities, it changes nations. And so, yeah, I just love being a part of this work.
Yeah, it might be fun for you to actually sit down at some point in your coffee shop or your living room or down at the beach and just think about the implications of a transformed life where you understand who you are in Christ and your gifts and your strengths and what kind of ripple effect that has in you. And it's larger than you think. It is larger than you think.
I just lost the message.
Oh, you lost. Do we know? The fourth thing that we do is we get to share Jesus and coach and invest into young leaders. And that's just a joy for us to do. So we are on Zoom at all kinds of weird times and weird hours, connecting with leaders in all kinds of places around the world. Bethel is, it's a part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Like, that's the roots, the denomination, the affiliated denomination. And the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada sent their first missionary, their first global worker to China in 1949, or in 1914, and her name was Letty Ward. I think she was from Alberta, and she established the first Bible school for women in China, and that stayed open until 1937 when world events, the Japanese invaded. And there was another man named Morrison, who he started the first Bible school for men in China. And when the Japanese invaded and the world kind of erupted, like, what were these missionaries to do? Well, Brother Morrison sent his family to Australia, and then they went from Australia back to Canada, but he stayed there. In fact, he disappeared off of all communication for 4 years. Nobody knew where he was or heard from him. But what he had done in those 4 years is he kept skipping around the country of China, staying ahead of the Japanese army, and wherever he went, he would plant a church. We are just now having leaders from the mainland approach us and say, hey, we had a church started in our neighborhood. We'd like to make contact. Do you know a guy named Morrison? He helped start our church. So there's these beautiful places. And I want to say, my point in saying that is that Canadians are crazy. Yeah. Canadians have a boldness or a courage to go with the power of the Holy Spirit into all kinds of places. And there's a great legacy globally because of the work that Canadians have done.
You've often said we punch above our weight,
yeah.
Right? And so when you travel and see these seeds that were planted like 100 years ago, and to actually see the fruit of them is just amazing and honestly overwhelming in some ways.
So Acts 1:8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So there's this sense that we're called not just to our local setting, but the word and, we're called and to the ends of the earth. And so you're a part of that.
And what we would want to say, if you hear anything we say today, it's this: God is still calling people. He is still calling people. So according to Christopher Wright, the mission of God, he talks about the mission of God, it's this overarching narrative of the Bible where God is at the center, actively working to redeem and restore all of creation. So God has a mission. We often think it's our mission, that you're here at Bethel, you know, you have a mission, like the House of Wonders, I think it is, that we follow along, right? That somehow you have a mission. We give to missions. Maybe we go on a missions trip, but make no mistake, it is his mission. It is his mission. And here's the thing, he invites us to be a part of it. So every time you get involved in something locally, globally, or whatever, it's like God is just like nudging you, saying, come on, I have some really cool things to show you, and I want to use you in beautiful ways. God's mission is holistic. It includes evangelism, like when we actually share our faith. It includes discipleship, helping us grow, helping people grow into maturity. It does include justice. Like the video suggested, you know, it's not just some of these situations happening around the world. It includes creation care. So every time you're gardening, did you know that you're part of God's mission as you're caring for the earth? I mean, it includes community. When we live out the values of God in our community and to society, it just shows something that's really, really beautiful. So we get to participate. And every believer, there's so many people that go, oh, I'm not gifted enough, I don't have anything to give, blah, 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 blah. But every single believer has something to contribute to God's mission. And our unique gifts are just so beautiful, and the strengths and the passions and where God has placed us, it's all by design. It's, we were created for purpose, on purpose. And it's beautiful.
There's a great need. Yeah. There are still, out of the 8 billion people on the planet today, there are still 3.42 billion or so who live in unreached people groups with little or no access to the gospel. So when you think about this lifeguard on duty, we need a few more lifeguards.
Yeah.
Need a few more lifeguards because there are so many who have yet to hear, who have yet to hear about the saving power of Jesus, who have yet to experience that transformation that he brings. This spring, I got to be a part of a crazy meeting, and I don't usually like meetings. Like, meetings are not the purpose of my existence. But I was down in the U.S. With my boss, and He was there for a meeting of mission leaders from about 8 or 9 different countries. So Latin America, Africa, Europe, Philippines, North Asia, US, Canada. So there's a small group, not a big group. And I got to sit in the back. And in that meeting, they started to talk about those unreached people groups. And there was a challenge given, and it felt like a Holy Spirit challenge. And the challenge was, so Canada, how many unreached people groups will you take on? Because we actually think that it's a doable task to get the gospel into all of these places. So Canada, how many would you take on? And we actually have to give a response by September. And I'm a little nervous to be a part of that meeting because I think my workload will increase. But there's a call to go to those unreached people groups.
You were texting me like furiously, like there was just like this download of the Spirit, right? It was incredible. So in the spring, we were working through the book of Acts together, and it was like we had never read it before. I'm fairly sure that we had. But we came across, we hit Acts chapter 13, 1-3, and it's about the church in Antioch. And we're just going to unpack a few simple things for you here this morning, because we actually see some parallels with Bethel, and we want to encourage you. So in Acts chapter 13, it says, among the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon called the Black Man, Lucius from Cyrene, Manaen, the childhood companion of King Herod Antipas, and Saul. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way.
So this is a moment in time in a local church. Antioch was a healthy, kind of vibrant church. It was the home base for Paul's missionary activities. So they were the sending church. They actually sent, I think, 3 or 4 missions trips out of the church in Antioch. That church was key in the spread of the gospel. It was on the road from Jerusalem to Rome, and there's these leaders in the church. So Antioch was a highly connected, vibrant, alive kind of church.
It kind of sounds a bit like Bethel.
Kind of like Bethel.
Just saying. Okay, so what can we learn from this church? You know, you kind of ask yourself, okay, what was in the water here? Like, what is going on that they are this place? One of the first things we see is diversity. There was a diverse group of leaders, different backgrounds, different socioeconomic backgrounds. Diversity is a power of the church. Our global church family, one of the things that I wish I could pack you all into our bags and show you the church around the world, because it is stunningly beautiful. It's crazy. It's different.
We'll be in a place, another country, and we don't speak the language and they don't speak English, and we'll be together with believers, and you're connected. Like you're family, and it's wild.
And so it's interesting, because as we're traveling in Canada a lot, we're seeing more diversity in churches. New Canadians coming into our churches. And I tell you, it's beautiful, because the more voices you have, the more perspectives, the more backgrounds, the richer it becomes as together we listen to God's voice together.
Within the church in Antioch, there was a strong spiritual foundation. So the leaders were described as prophets and teachers. So these are men who knew how to hear from God. So their inner lives supported the weight of their calling. So they're meeting together, worshiping and fasting to hear from God. And perhaps they are doing this special to hear from God especially. And because we'd been reading through the book of Acts, we think that they were having this meeting because just a few chapters before, the whole world of the Gentiles had been opened up. The gospel had initially been just for the Jews, but now it was for the Gentiles. And so these guys are meeting and saying, God, how does this work for us?
What's interesting is what they don't do. They don't haul out a big whiteboard with all the colored markers. Who loves colored markers? Oh, I love a good set of fresh colored markers, right? But like, it's interesting because this isn't so much strategy. And in North America within churches, bless our hearts, we do strategy. And I'm glad we do strategy. I'm glad we think about what we do. But here what we see is a calling comes out of fasting and prayer. It comes out of that place of like, Lord, we need to hear from you. What is it that you're doing?
And I think for us, like we went to Hong Kong, and just shortly after we got there, the pandemic hit.
Like three weeks.
And all of our whiteboard plans, like that Leanne had, we'd taken pictures of our whiteboard with the colored markers. We built spreadsheets.
It was going to be incredible, Darcy.
It was going to be amazing.
Like, wow.
And it was all out the window. And so we had to actually
we actually had to pray.
It was such a good muscle development for us. We were forced out of our regular pattern of doing the Canadian leadership kind of thing and had to hear from God in order to do.
I love that. The other thing we see with Antioch is that they were faithful to discernment, right? So every call or an invitation to God's mission always begins with a call. It's like God's nudge, his whisper in our voice, into our ear or whatever. And, you know, when we think about it, we just have one job. We have one job. That is to make disciples. Now, some of us will go overseas, crossing cultures with the gospel. Others will evangelize on university campuses. There will be teachers. There will be nurses. There will be people sharing Jesus in the marketplace, maybe hosting Alpha at work. Some are going to pour into the next generation through Sunday school ministry, through VBS, through homeschooling. Some of us will lead in our faith communities, but we do it all together. And so I love how they were discerning together. We are a body of unity, not uniformity. So this discernment process, it's for individuals, but it also was for them as a community.
The church was also committed to identify and disciple. So when we got to Acts chapter 13, it was like, whoa, 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 like, this is really cool, like, what's happening? So I had to go back to Acts chapter 11 to see, where did this start? And so things were happening in the church in Antioch, and news of that reached the church in Jerusalem, and they decided to send Barnabas to Antioch. And chapter 11, verse 23 says, when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So the church is growing. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he'd found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. This is really kind of interesting because there was an identification thing that Barnabas did.
Yeah.
Saul was the guy who had encountered Jesus supernaturally on his way to persecute Christians. He was on his way to put people in jail, and God met him and his life was transformed. But the church was a little scared of this guy named Saul because he had persecuted Christians. And so they thought, like, maybe this is all a trick. Maybe this is all a hoax. And so they didn't give him kind of spiritual leadership responsibilities. And you know, like if a member of the Hells Angels came through the door and accepted Christ, the next Sunday, Pastor Jeremy and Holly would probably not allow him to speak, right? Like that would be normal. But so that was kind of the posture. They're like, whoa, hold on. But Barnabas went and found Saul and discipled him. He worked with him for a full year. And the in their journey, like first it's Saul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul, but then it flips actually to Paul and Barnabas. Like there's a name change, there's an order change, and it made me think of when I coached soccer.
Mm.
I was a soccer coach as of 9-year-old girls, and
That's important work,
it was
Darcy.
It was important work. It was good work. And so I coached our daughter's soccer team for a number of years. And I tell you, like, if I had wanted to, I could have been the champion of that league. I could have played, and I could have scored multiple goals again and again as I bowled all those little girls out of the way. Like, we would have had an amazing team.
It would have been awesome.
It would have been awesome.
They might have carted you off the field, but go ahead.
Yeah, I might have been arrested, like all those kind of things. But that is not the role of a coach. The role of the coach is to let the girls play and to encourage and teach and train and allow them to flourish. And there's a joy that comes with that. And this is what Barnabas was doing, is he was taking Saul and investing in him and allowing him to actually take the lead.
So I'm thinking then that the DNA of like recognizing, identifying, and discipling was in Antioch. And may I be bold to say that I think that DNA resides in Bethel. And I'll tell you, I am a product of your investment. You know, we think about like how we grew to be who we are as people, how we grow up in the faith, how we grow up in the Lord. And like literally here at 3 weeks old, surrounded by the community of faith. Things like Pastor Don having me teach the adults when I was 14 years old. Pastor Dave Larson, love that man. Of course you can lead worship. You're 11. Like, of course you can. Going down to the prayer room after Sunday night service, honestly, I can still hear the scrape of the chairs. As Brother and Sister Donnelly begin to pray and lay hands on people. Grandma and Grandpa Pohl. Sister Zap Rosen, who really scared me, actually. She freaked me out. But here's the thing. It's like, it's identifying people. It's calling them out of people. It's giving them opportunities to grow and to be nurtured and the encouragement to say, you can absolutely do this. If God has called you, you can do this and we are behind you. See, this is what's happening in Antioch. I believe it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've experienced it. So when we think of Bethel, see, Antioch was a sending church. Bethel is a sending church. And we want to encourage you today, keep sending. Keep identifying. Keep raising up people and releasing them. You know, this dedication to sending. And here's the thing, when I think about Antioch, they sent their best. And I imagine as a leader, when, you know, we're going to send two people out, and I'm like, our best? The people that you can just rely on, that you know they're solid, they're going to be there? I'm like, I would bargain with the Lord and say, you can have one. Okay, you can have one. And no, actually, send them both. But in the kingdom, when we are generous with our finances, when we are generous with our people, it's like an open heaven and God just pours more out. And there's this saying that you love to say, which I love to quote you on. Maybe I should just let you say it. But in the kingdom, it's the only place where you can actually plant in other people's fields and reap a harvest in your own. So God is still sending people, Bethel. There are people in this room that are called to serve internationally. Maybe it's something you've thought about over the years. Maybe it's something you pushed away. But God is still sending.
I love that, you know, Kirsten was on the worship team today, and Adrian and Kirsten are part of your church family, and God has called them to go. And I had the privilege of doing some of their training with them, for them. like you're sending some good people and that DNA, but there's more. There are kids downstairs who you have a chance, an opportunity to invest in and to see who God will form down there. Like there are people in the room who a word of encouragement, a word of life, where you speak Jesus into their lives will have a profound impact. And so we say, you must send your sons and daughters. You must. Paul and Barnabas were sent out as sons out of Antioch, and they took young John Mark with them. And Acts 2:17 says, in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. There's just this call to activate, and to not be afraid to activate our sons and our daughters. And as we said, there has to be a willingness for people to say yes. Paul and Barnabas don't hesitate to respond to God's call. They obey without delay. They trust in Holy Spirit's leading and affirmation. And it's hard, like when we say yes to God, whether it be here in Penticton or in another community or globally, when we say yes, it isn't all easy. Like, it wasn't all easy for Brother Morrison as he's trying to keep one step ahead of the invading Japanese army. And he's away from his family.
And think about his wife with the kids.
Yes.
Not knowing
where her husband is for years. Like, this isn't easy stuff. But it is significant stuff. Life-changing, world-changing, transformational stuff. So will we say yes? I'm going to invite the worship team to come. And we're going to sing a song, a song of challenge for you to speak Jesus and to believe in faith that God can do amazing things. So could I invite you to stand? I'd love to pray over you as we prepare to close. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the example of the church in Antioch, this healthy, vibrant church that looked a lot like what Bethel looks like today. And Father, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would put ourselves second and you first and begin to speak words of life into the next generation, to speak words of life into the people around us. We pray that you would help us to be listening to you first. To listen to you first and to follow your lead. We thank you that you have so much more in store for Bethel. So much more in store for this community of believers. God, we pray that by the power of your Spirit that you begin to nudge some of us this morning. Nudge us toward our destiny call, a sacrificial destiny call to serve you beyond what we've done before. Thank you, Jesus.